This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
It's an off day for the Knicks, Islanders, and Rangers. Sounds like a perfect day to talk baseball and a little NFL draft. We'll do it next. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number to join our conversation here on ESPN New York Tonight. Also, hit us up on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY, 98_7FM, along with Harvey and Joe. Yeah, they're back together again, and you never know what's going to happen when they're together in the studio. We're here until midnight on 98.7 ESPN. Gordon, how are you?
I'm good, Larry. You made a little mistake there at the beginning.
I did.
Well, you said it was an off day for the Knicks, for the Rangers, and for the Islanders. You didn't mention the Devils. Devils are also off today.
I did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Harvey. I apologize.
They are off. We can use that for a while now. I just want
to
point
that
out.
There he is. Just off the show. Yep.
How are you, Larry?
I'm doing great. Gordon, a couple of questions off the top.
Yeah.
By the way, we have company at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Al Iron the Zone.
Uh-huh.
From Newsday.
The Jets. Yeah.
Yes. I remember him covering the Knicks.
I remember him covering the Nets.
Yeah. They both, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wow. That's right. He was out there when you were out there doing your yes days.
Yeah.
Al's been in the zone for a number of teams.
He has been in the zone for quite a while.
Former Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Grew up a Steeler fan. He and I had some interesting conversations about that back in the day. But I digress. First of all, any bee sightings?
I went out today. I did not see any bee sightings. I was not out there for that long. It did start to rain for a little bit. Uh-huh. I have not noticed any in the course of today. I'll go back out. I think tomorrow is supposed to be a nicer day. So maybe I'll go out tomorrow and see if I have some problems once again.
I'm fulfilling
my
new
job. I got to keep it on the down low.
I understand because I can't make it too obvious why I'm going out.
Why are you going out to the backyard? Why are you walking around and looking at the sky?
I'm enjoying nature, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at the birds. Or, because you know wives always love to hear this, I'm thinking about doing some things out here.
Mm. Oh, no, I'm not opening that up because then it's going to be the list of things that are in her head that she's been thinking. Well, since you're doing things, what I would start with is.
Yeah, but this is my project, honey. We're good. We understand. So that's number one. That's my new job. Apparently, Lonnie from the company wants me to be the beekeeper for you.
I appreciate that. I will be checking in from time to time. That's good to know.
Number two, we haven't asked for a while. How's the dog?
Molly's doing well. She had to get fixed.
Especially
with the females, you got to really be careful. So we had to go through that whole thing and the whole cone of shame that she's been wearing for the last week.
Oh, not the cone of shame.
Yeah, she's not happy with the cone. No dog is ever happy with the cone.
Or cat.
No animal. You put the cone on, they're not happy.
They're miserable.
But, of course, my wife had to... We got the cone from the hospital that did the operation, right? Okay. It's the big plastic white cone.
Yes, of course.
But, of course, Larry, Amazon sells different kinds of cones that are more comfortable for the dog.
Oh.
Also...
And color, of course.
I swear to
God,
this is true. She bought her a one-piece outfit that the dog wears
with the cone.
She does also wear the cone, but then she doesn't scratch the area directly.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of the dog is walking around like Mrs. Roper with this flowery moo-moo thing on, and this inflatable cone. The dog looks like there's some mental problems with the dog. And the dog is ashamed. The dog is looking at you like this is not my best work. This is not my best times.
The dog is looking at you like, can't you give me
right? Help, can you give me back
out?
To the people you got me from?
Can you help a brother out? Tell him get this thing off me.
Yeah,
he's embarrassed to go out.
And see, I'm not paying attention to the dog in the daytime as much as I need to be. Today she managed to get the inflatable thing off of her head. And she's just walking around the house, and I realize that I got to get the thing back on her. So.
Oh, no.
But she's improved. She is.
Molly's all right.
Yeah, she's doing okay. She gets the cone off, I think, Saturday, just in time for the weekend.
Oh, poor Molly.
Molly's had a rough go of it. She was not, she did not do well with the anesthesia.
No, they normally don't.
Oh, she was out of it.
They normally don't. They normally don't. I mean, in a past life, I was in a relationship where we had four cats.
Okay.
And one of them had the cone of shame on.
Right.
And when he came in, the other cats looked at him and hissed.
Right. Yeah. They looked down on him. Right. They had no respect for that cone of shame.
What is wrong? Oh, you're like he was like not a cat.
And they have
anymore.
To get used to it. They're not. They don't know what's going on. They just keep banging into walls and banging into this
their sense
and banging
of direction.
Into that. So.
It's awful.
Yeah. But now, she'll have it off by the weekend. She'll be good to go. Yeah.
Now, one more thing. The reason why I asked about Molly is because Molly, if you remember the Gordon Damer lifestyle that we've done like a series on, Molly ate some candy, got into the
three pantry. Chocolate bunnies at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. That the kids didn't have a chance to eat for Easter.
No. Or Dad. Dad didn't get a chance to eat them either. So Molly,
Gordon,
all one full swoop.
Gordon, Jeanette was at Trader Joe's a couple of days ago. And she said, let's try this. There is a tub of mini chocolate chip cookies. Have you been to Trader Joe's?
Yes, I'm aware. Yes, I am aware of the tub of mini chocolate chip cookies.
And she said when she got them, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree. Because you think, well, I can eat a handful of these. They're little tiny things.
They're the size of a penny.
Right. And you just keep going back and eating another handful.
Yes.
And another handful.
Yes.
And yes, those are absolutely delicious.
So I was thinking, if you weren't familiar with them, I was going to suggest that the kids, you know, to make up for Easter.
Right.
So a peace offering from Molly.
I appreciate that.
To the kids.
Molly's cost me enough money. Molly needs to get a second job to kind of offset the vet bills and the moo-moo bills and the inflatable cone bills.
To be fair to Molly, Molly did not ask for the moo-moo.
No, she did not.
So that, you
know. The Amazon guy shows up, and I feel like he's snickering at me, Larry, when he's dropping the stuff off on the couch. You know, you got the doorbell that records him. I swear to God, that guy is laughing every time he puts something on the stoop.
He is. He's enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh, he's having a grand time.
Boy, you know what? It's a good thing he doesn't get paid by delivery. Otherwise, you'd have a bunch of different delivery guys.
He would live in the house and I would be in the truck. I would just show up to the house. Beep, beep. You got my stuff? Bring it out to the van. Out here.
We have interesting lives, don't we, Gordon?
Yeah, very, very fascinating.
Oh,
very
it's
fascinating.
Unbelievable. I think it's time to do some top stories, don't
Please,
you?
Please, let's do it.
Here's our top stories for this Wednesday, April 23rd. We begin in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. Two-run home run from Aaron Judge in the first inning. Anthony Volpe, RBI triple. Juan Soto, sack fly. Anthony Rizzo, Soto blast. Yankees were rolling. Gordon was Rizzo's a 5-0. They were rolling. Then, before you could say, 3-1 home run from Booker of the A's. That put Oakland on the board and sent, Clark Smith to the showers. But Juan Soto just hit a home run a couple of minutes ago.
That man, Juan Soto, he is unbelievable. He has been as advertised. You know, sometimes coming to New York, coming to the big city, it takes you a while to adjust, especially playing under the prospect of having to get a contract and all that kind of talk that showed up here even before he did.
Yep.
He has been nothing short of fantastic. Another home run tonight. Couple of ribbies on the night. He has been great.
It's been outstanding.
And now we get Judge going.
That's it. He's due.
That's what you're looking for.
And you're starting to see him, Gordon, getting some better at bats. Mm-hmm. Starting to see he's working himself together. So.
I'm going to make a prediction even before we get to answers with Aaron later. There will be a reference to Judge putting things together. Putting together better at bats. That'll be the phrase he will use a little bit later in the show.
Okay. That's Answers with Aaron. We do it normally around 11:30. Just make sure you hang around for that. 3-game losing streak over. Francisco Lindor talking about getting on track.
Yeah.
Pair of two-run homers, and the Mets avoided a 3-game series sweep on Wednesday with an 8-2 win over the San Francisco Giants, who were a little upset, Gordon, because they had to put Blake Snell on the 15-day IL earlier. Struggling lefty who was scheduled to start at home against the Mets has a left adductor strain. You know what that means. He's not coming back for a while.
Yeah, that I would not think so. And that's the problem with these guys who don't sign contracts in the offseason. They don't get to camp. They don't work themselves properly. Everything's rushed. And now the Giants are paying him this money but he's going to be on the IL for a while. So disappointing. But great day for Lindor. Good to see him finally start to snap out of it.
Snell, 0-3 with an 11.57 ERA in three starts. Aren't you glad Brian Cashman didn't sign that check?
I never wanted him. I never wanted to watch him. I don't like watching him pitch. And he's a guy, he's kind of like Rodon in that he will have a great season every now and then. But most of the times, he's hurt a lot. He doesn't pitch deep into games. And he's been mediocre for most of his career.
Yeah. Reggie Bush is getting his 2005 Heisman Trophy back, Gordon. Heisman Trust announced the formal reinstatement of the trophy to Bush amid what it called, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape, unquote, meaning everybody can bet now, so it's okay.
Right. Everybody's getting paid now, so
why not?
Instead of breaking the law, you were just a pioneer.
Yeah, absolutely. Its decision comes after Bush forfeited his award in 2010 in the wake of significant NCAA sanctions for USC, which included Bush receiving improper benefits. Is that what they call it?
Right. He received benefits, and they were if you received any benefits back then, apparently it was improper.
Yeah, he received them while playing from 2003 to 2005. He will again be invited to all future Heisman ceremonies beginning in the 2024 season. Now, this is Bush's statement to our P. Thamel, quoting Reggie, "Personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I am honored to return to the Heisman family. I also look forward to working together with the Heisman Trust to advance the values and missions of the organization." End of quote. Thank you.
And when did they take the Heisman from him? I don't feel like that was all that long ago.
It wasn't.
It feels like the Heisman was just on a sabbatical for a couple of years, but I don't know. I think maybe it was 2020. Maybe it was around
maybe
then.
Summer. Yeah, not that far. In the NFL, Lions star receiver Amon St. Juan Brown agrees to a 4-year, $120 million extension. Contract includes $77 million guaranteed, the most guaranteed money for a receiver in a single contract in NFL history, according to our stats and information research.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's a huge part of what they do in the passing game. He has been sensational. I think he was a third-round pick when they got him. And, I mean, working out of the slot, he is a dynamo, so good for him. And it just shows you, when we're talking about the draft tomorrow, hey, we'll take this position, we'll take that position. The benefit is, hey, you take a quarterback, you get him for 5 years, you're not really paying him any money. Receivers are not that far behind. 4 years, $120 million?
It's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad work if you can get it.
Absolutely. Good news and bad news if you are a Bengals fan. Here's the good news. They picked up Ja'Marr Chase's fifth-year option. The decision by Cincinnati ensures that Chase's salary for the 2025 season will be fully guaranteed. The option year will carry an estimated value of $21.8 million, according to a projection from our friends at OverTheCap.com. The bad news? Both wide receiver T. Higgins and three-time Pro Bowl defensive end Trey Hendrickson have asked to be traded because they're not getting paid.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what happens. They have been a successful group here for a little while. Anthony Rizzo has just hit another home run.
Everybody's rolling.
Everybody wants to get paid. So pass rushers are tough to find. So if the Bengals do end up deciding to trade him, I'm sure they'll have no shortage of suitors.
Heisman, Reggie Bush had the Heisman taken away in 2010, Gordon.
Oh, 2010? So, it was that long ago? Wow.
Yeah, it seemed much more recent.
Everything. It's like, how was that long ago? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, amazing. You say 2010, and I feel like, 2010, that was just the other year. No, it was 14 years ago. Never mind.
Isn't that something? Whew. Last item on our top stories list, Steelers not expected to pick up quarterback Justin Fields' fifth-year option. According to Shefty, Fields and Russell Wilson now will be entering the last year of their contracts. Fields, you remember, was acquired last month from the Bears for a conditional 2025 sixth-round pick. Wilson is expected to start offseason workouts, quote, in the pole position, unquote, in the quarterback room. But Fields will be given a chance to compete when appropriate, according to Coach Mike Tomlin in a conversation he had with the media last month.
Well, Mike Tomlin is hoping he never sees Justin Fields because that tells you that Russell Wilson is playing well. But with the way Russell Wilson has played here the last couple of years, the thing about the Steelers is, though, they always seem to be kind of in it. They're never really that bad. So it tells you, though, that even the Steelers, who traded for Justin Fields, still don't really believe that much in Justin Fields if they're not picking up the fifth-year option.
No. They want to see.
Yeah. I can't say I blame them. We've seen some good things from them. We've seen some low moments as well. So maybe in a more functional organization with some real skill positions behind them, he might be in a better spot.
No question about it.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Be a dream come true, you know, having that kind of caliber quarterback, throwing it to, you know, kind of receivers that he got now and then adding me to that list. I'm sure we could do tremendous things.
That's Malik Nabers on SNY talking about catching passes from the legend. That is Aaron Rodgers. It's Hardesty and Damer on ESPN New York Tonight. And Gordon, once again, you're starting to hear this conversation about more receivers, right? More, not linemen, but receivers, either the tight end or
Brock Bowers,
wide receiver,
or Odunze, whoever's there after the Giants go at six, assuming they go receiver as well.
A lot of, you know, you're not hearing that much about receiver. I mean, about linemen now, and we've weighed in. If it were us, we'd take a lineman.
You know, I was thinking about it today. I was listening to the guys on the K Show, and I was deep in my thoughts, Larry, in the backyard. I think I know what the Jets are going to do.
Okay.
And this is not from any specific knowledge, just kind of listening and reading the tea leaves and knowing that this is lying season.
Right.
I really do believe, and we can lock this in as a receipt, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I really do think that they will wind up trading down, recouping a second-round pick that they lost in the Rodgers deal, and they will end up taking an offensive lineman in the first round.
Okay.
I know that does not seem like the way things are headed right now. You've heard a lot that they're going to stay right where they are and get a receiver, or they'll take Brock Bowers, or even that they'll trade up. I have a hard time believing that they're going to be willing to pay the price that they would have to pay to move up from 10 to wherever they would have to go to get the receiver that they're looking for.
Yeah, and you know what? Trading down would not be a bad idea.
Well, look, if you go through draft history, usually teams hit in the second round with the same hit rate as in the first round. So the fact that they don't have that second round pick, what I'm interested in with the Jets and with Joe Douglas is, how much pressure does he feel in this draft? In that, does he look at it, well, I have to do what's best for the Jets organization long-term, or is he looking for what is best for the Jets, but through the prism of Joe Douglas not knowing that he is going to be part of the Jets long-term? So what I mean by that is he going to be free and easy trading away future picks for 2025 to improve the lot of the Jets in 2024? I don't think he would do that. I think that he's going to look at this as, he's going to treat this like any other year. And if he treats it like any other year, I think that trading down, recouping that second round pick, and kind of taking shots in each round rather than just one big shot at a receiver, I think that that's the way they'll end up going.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Subi's in Midtown. What's up, Subi?
Hey, guys. I want to talk about the NFL draft. At the end of the day, the Giants have so many holes that this quarterback controversy that they were talking about, like trading up, not going to work out. They need to get the best receiver on the board, whoever it is. And then at the end of the day, the Jets, the same thing. I was thinking, the big thing I was thinking about is Vera Tucker's injury status. He was obviously out the second half of the year last year. So that guy from Hawaii, I forgot what his name was, but he could play multiple positions. And that's the key thing here is with Aaron Rodgers, you know, only having 2 years left, you need a guy to play multiple positions, especially if Vera Tucker is going to be on and off the injury list the whole year. So that's all I got to say. I want depth versus, you know, the top, you know, like Bowers. I don't want Bowers. Now I want the linemen. That's all I got to say.
All right, Subi, thanks for the phone call. Well, we kind of agree. We want the linemen too.
You know, because, and I was listening today a lot about, and people that bring up all the time about the Giants. Well, if you get the right guy, it doesn't matter what you trade away. It doesn't matter what you trade away if you get the right guy. Look at with Eli Manning. The Giants traded away a boatload to get Eli Manning. Take a look at the team that Eli Manning walked into. Mm-hmm. They had Tiki Barber. They had Amani. Amani Toomer was there. Shockey was there.
Mm-hmm.
They had Ike Hilliard was still there. They had the components of a halfway decent offense.
Right.
If the Giants, I'm telling you right now, if the Giants do end up trading up and trading away future first round pick, future second round pick, whatever it's going to cost to do that, they are going to put the person that they draft in a very unenviable position in that he's not going to be surrounded with any talent when he walks in, and you're going to make it harder and harder to surround him with talent by trading away future assets in the process.
Yeah, you're right. You got to have something there to work with. You can't just drop a quarterback, especially if you're going to move up to get a quarterback. You can't just drop him in, Gordon, with nobody to work with. You got to have something there.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, maybe the Giants aren't as far away as it seems right now, but mm-hmm. they are lacking a true number one receiver, which you could do with the sixth pick this year. They don't know what's going on with the tight end. The running game, it was not exactly a strength without Saquon, and now Saquon's not here. The offensive mm-hmm. line, you hope that it's fixed now. This is like the fifth renovation of the offensive line for the New York.
Yeah.
I saw a stat yesterday. Warren Sharp put it out that I think it was over the last 10 years, no teams have invested more draft capital in the offensive line than the Jets and Giants.
Mm-hmm. No question.
And that tells you how poor a job that they have done, that they're both going into this year hoping that this is finally the year their offensive lines are just league average.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
We continue our look at the New York Jets as they prepare for the draft. For his analysis and sharp wit, we bring in Al Iazone, who covers the Jets. I said Nets. Gordon, this is your fault.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
It's all your fault.
Me. It's okay. It's all right.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Covers the Jets now for Newsday. Hi, Al.
Hey, guys, I thought we were going to talk basketball. That's what I usually talk with you to.
We can squeeze some of that into it.
Sure,
that's all right.
Absolutely.
Rules here, Al.
Yeah, I was about to ask you. We're doing great. I was about to ask you, when's the last playoff team you covered?
The Carmelo Anthony Knicks. So that was probably 2013, the last time they made did they win the division that year? But they came in second. I don't remember, but it was they lost to the Pacers in the conference.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember it was Roy Hibbert blocking Melo at the rim.
That's right.
But yeah, it's been a while. I don't normally cover good teams. I don't know what to do.
Don't blame yourself. Nothing to do with you.
No, you just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I've been blamed. I've been pulled off the. Maybe this year will be there.
Al, did you ever think you would write a story about Zach Wilson being traded?
Yes. I had it already written well in advance because I think everybody knew that this guy was, you know, done. And I'm surprised they kept him last year. I think they might have been able to, get more for him last year. But who knows? He had such a rocky time in New York. Things just didn't go right for him. It wasn't the best environment. However, he didn't.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, Al.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. The curse of Zach Wilson.
That phone was on loan from some of those non-playoff teams. Oh, no.
We'll get Al back in a second.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, we'll get him back, and he'll continue his conversation.
Well, look, I mean, the thing with Zach Wilson, right? I mean, it seemed like it was clear, but when it goes on for as long as it did, like you figured as soon as the season was over, he's gone here, he's gone there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept lingering.
Yeah.
There's got to be some doubts. I know there were doubts with some Jet fans I know.
See, for me, Al, as we welcome Al back, for me, it's not that I knew the Jets were going to trade him. It was who was going to take him. That was the question. Who was going to be on the receiving end?
Joe's done a great job of moving guys. So that's why I never believed he was going to be just waived. I felt like it was going to be a situation where they were going to have to give back a lot. And they did. You know, they have to give a pick back, and they had to give a pick back, and they have to pay half his salary. It just didn't.
Oh, man.
Bing bong.
Gordon, we can't talk Zach Wilson.
The question yet?
It's clearly we can't talk Zach Wilson. We can't. Let's just move on.
This has to be a Zach Wilson free zone.
We just move on. I'm not even going to speak. When we come back, you talk to him. I'm not even going to speak. I'm not even going to say. I'm not going to say a thing. It's clearly me. Clearly me.
No, that's not the case. That's not. Hey, these things happen. Technology at its finest, you know.
Absolutely,
these things do happen.
Absolutely.
Al, are you there?
Yeah, see, this is my, I'm the jinx. That's it, I'm the jinx.
Well, this is because we're talking about Zach Wilson, so let's get off Zach Wilson. Let's talk about this year's draft. Jets are picking 10th. There's been plenty of speculation, as there always is, draft time.
Right.
Trade up, trade down, stay there. What do you think the Jets end up doing tomorrow night?
I think they're going to take a playmaker. So whoever that is, depends on what happens, you know, before them in the draft. I could see them trading up if they want to get a Rome Odunze or, you know, really go crazy and get even higher for Marvin Harrison Jr. Or, you know, if Brock Bowers falls to 10, you know, maybe they take a chance and take a tight end who everybody thinks like this, you know, George Kittle and could have the type of impact that Sam LaPorta had last year in Detroit. So either way, I mean, to me, I know you're torn sometimes because you say, you know, their offensive line is always terrible. It's always hurt. It's always this. It's always that. Get as many pieces there. But I think you got to get Aaron Rodgers more weapons. And you got to do everything you can to win this season. I mean, this is it. This is it for Rodgers for the most part. I mean, you know, he could be back if they don't succeed. But it's obvious that Robert Saleh won't be back and probably Joe Douglas either. So you give Aaron Rodgers as many weapons as you can and you go in, all in for this year.
Al, if they take that road, are there enough decent or above-average offensive linemen, third round, because they don't have a second-round pick, third round or fourth round, that they can put in as, you know, depth, considering how many they had to use last year?
Larry, that's what they hope. You know, that's what they hope. They have their scouts who, you know, might believe that. They'll try to get a number two somehow. You know, that's the other option. Do they trade down and recoup a number two, you know, take a offensive lineman a little later in the first round and then take and pick up a number two and grab a receiver there. I mean, there's going to be options for Joe Douglas. And they have to explore all of them. Look, to me, they have to explore all of them. I don't see either one being the bad situation because you can make a case for add more talent to that, you know, receiver room or tight end room, and you can make a case for, like you said, you know, they need linemen. They just picked up two who are pretty good, Morgan Moses, a tackle, Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith. But, you know, Tyron Smith has injury history, and Morgan Moses is coming off a torn pec. So I could see them going either way, but my gut says that, you know, it's going to be a receiver, especially after last year when, you know, they took a defensive lineman when they probably should have taken an offensive player one way or another.
Al, we all talk about going into this year that the Jets, it's win now, otherwise people's jobs are going to be on the line. How free do you think that Joe Douglas will be with future picks in this year's draft to move up if necessary? Or do you think that Joe Douglas looks at his job, he doesn't focus so much as his job being on the line, it's about doing what's best for the Jets organization long term?
Yeah, I think it's a fine line he's walking there, Gordon. And you know, he comes from two pretty good organizations where he won championships with the Ravens. You know, Ozzie Newsome had his way of doing things, and then he went to the Eagles. So, you know, Joe's a smart guy. He had an excellent draft 2 years ago. He's made some trades that, you know, people would say have gone pretty well for them. But this obviously is a big one. And I think you have to walk that line and you have to have that balance of we need to win now, but we also need to make sure we have some flexibility going forward. My opinion, and Joe never acts like this. Joe Douglas is a pretty cool cucumber. He never acts like anything is too big. So I don't think he's feeling the heat yet. So I think he's going in there saying, you know, what can I do to make this team better right now? And that's what they did in free agency. I mean, I think people would say they had a pretty good free agency in addressing the needs that they had, and it gave them the flexibility now that, you know, let's be real. About a month ago, maybe a little longer, I think everybody would have said the Jets had taken an offensive lineman in the first round. Now it's a receiver, a tight end, or an offensive lineman. So that flexibility is a good thing to have.
As we move further down in the draft order for the Jets, Al, where do you think they start looking for, you know, premium, try to get some depth on their team? Obviously, running back they need to. I don't know what they expect from Abanaconda. Is he going to be able to give them something this year? Where else do you see them going after they take care of their top order needs?
Well, I think, you know, obviously at some point they got to get a quarterback, right? That's something they have to do. Like this call started after you guys hung up on me three times. they got rid of Zach Wilson. So now they got Tyrod Taylor, obviously Aaron Rodgers. So I think at some point, maybe day three, they get a developmental quarterback, you know, somebody who could potentially be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying he will be, because let's be honest, if it doesn't work this year and you have a whole new regime coming in, they're going to pick the next quarterback. I think you got to address linebacker. You know, C.J. Mosley is still a very good player, but he's in the last year or two of his deal. I mean, he reworks his contract every year. They need a safety. Yeah, running back. I mean, you could go down the list. You never have enough depth. And, you know, getting those compensatory picks are going to help. I mean, I think they have six picks in days two and three, but they definitely want to get a number two. You know, I do think Joe is going to try to do something to get a number two pick to at least fill out some more needs.
When Joe was talking, I think it was last week, Al, he was talking about the impact that tight ends have made, and he mentioned some guys, you know, Kelsey and Kittle. I can't remember the third guy he mentioned, but there you go. None of those guys were first round picks. Is there any concern at all from the people that you've talked to that while Bowers might be great, this is a win now kind of situation and tight ends generally don't hit the ground running as well as maybe some other positions? Has that been any talk with all the focus on Bowers?
No, I mean, what I've heard is, you know, the names that Joe mentioned, and you know, you guys have been doing this long enough to know, no matter what sport it is, this guy, everybody is the next this guy.
Right.
But you got to wait until you got to wait and see what they can do. You know, if you believe he's a stud and you believe he's this, as Joe referred to him, as a Swiss Army knife that can line up anywhere, you know, that's what he did in college. He lined up everywhere in college. If you can do that and diversify your offense that way, you know, with, again, everything I say is predicated on you have Aaron Rodgers running that offense, you know, he's going to make whatever tight end look good. You know, that's what was the biggest disappointment for last year, you know, with the fans and everybody else, that they wanted to see Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and some of these guys playing with Aaron Rodgers. So whoever they bring in here, Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, whoever it may be, you know, if you have Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball, he's going to find you, he's going to get you involved, and, you know, you're going to look pretty good. Look at some of the tight ends Aaron Rodgers played with. You know, he made them look pretty good.
He did. He did. It's, you know what, Al, and you know this, it's such a big risk because, listen, you just don't know what Aaron Rodgers you're getting coming back off this Achilles.
I know.
Yeah, that's so scary. It's a, you know, I don't know how Joe Douglas and Robert Salah sleep at night because you just don't know what you know, your job depends on this. You don't know what this guy's going to be able to do.
Larry, I hear you, but, you know, and you guys have been around some supreme athletes in your lives. Those guys who are just a cut above, you always believe they're going to have something left. And everything about Rodgers is I'm going to prove everybody wrong. You want a guy like that, right? Like, I covered Jason Kidd for a lot of years. Mm. He was one of the best players in NBA history. And he was always motivated by the naysayers. You know, he was motivated to be great regardless. But you know, he hated that, you know, they were winning 50 games, but the Knicks were getting all the attention. So you look at his numbers against it, like they would not lose to the Knicks.
No.
You know, he is a guy who was driven that way. Aaron Rodgers is like that. You know, at his first, you know, whatever you want to call it, when he spoke to McAfee after you know, after he got hurt. He's like, go ahead, give me your doubt, give me this. The guy was going to play last year. I mean, he was doing everything possible to play last year. So I hear you. It could fail miserably. But if you get Aaron Rodgers at, you know, 90%, 75%, 80%, he's a lot better than what you had. And he's a lot better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league. And I think he really is going to be motivated to prove he's still, you know, four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers.
Last question now. How are you feeling about your Steelers?
Oh, you know, that quarterback situation is interesting. But, you know, no matter what, sometime in the year they might be under 500, but by the end of the year, Tomlin's going to find a way to get them to 9-8 or better. But they got to win. They got to win in the playoffs. They got to win in the playoffs. And, you know, anybody listening now is going to say, you're a Steeler fan? I've been a Steeler fan my whole life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to win in the playoffs. The Jets this year, they have to make the playoffs. I think they should be a playoff team if everybody's healthy. I think, you know, obviously the AFC East, it is going to look a little different now with, you know, what the Bills have done. I mean, there's an opportunity here. If the Jets are healthy, if that defense can still be a top three or better unit, Rodgers plays the whole season, you know, they could win the division. And whatever happens this weekend is going to be a big part of that.
It is going to be interesting. Al, have fun covering the draft this weekend. It's always fun down in Jersey to see, you know, waiting to see what who picks what and who gets traded and all the other stuff. So thanks for a couple of minutes, and we'll talk
receiver.
Soon.
I think they go receiver.
Okay, we got you. All right, we're going to hold you to it.
Yeah,
If they go lineman, we're going to call you back and hang up on you again.
All right. I'll be waiting for that.
That sounds good.
Al Izzone. Thanks for a couple of minutes. Al Izzone of Newsday. Take care, Al.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, I think moving down's the smart move. Get back at two. You think about who they could get. Maybe Fautanu is there when they move down. Because certainly those other tackles could be. J.C. Latham is a name I didn't mention because I keep hearing he could go fifth overall to the Chargers from Alabama. He's my guy. He's the guy I've been on all along. So I think if you want the Fautanu because of the versatility, the next best tackle for my ratings is J.C. Latham, the right tackle out of Alabama. I keep hearing five to the Chargers, or if the Chargers move down, they would look at him. So Latham is one that I think you have to put in that top group. So if the Jets move down, say, and Latham was still there, a jump at that opportunity to bring him in. I just don't think he'll be there on a trade down off of 10. Who could be there would be the guys I mentioned. Fashanu, Fulaga, guys like that. I think Mims would be guys when trading down. I don't think you trade off of 10 and get J.C. Latham. I think he's too highly rated right now.
Mel Kiper Jr. on with DNR this morning, giving his thoughts about what the Jets could do if they, like Gordon Damer, thinks they would trade down and pick up a lineman or a receiver or whatever else they need. But getting back that second round pick, and Gordon, as Al Izzone mentioned, that seems to be a key thing that you know, Joe Douglas is trying to get that second round pick back in the draft, and that would be huge if he could.
And that kind of feeds into that balance that I'm talking about if you're Joe Douglas, right? Your job is on the line. How concerned are you about the long-term ramifications of the organization if you're not going to be part of the long-term ramifications of the organization? So you'd figure if you're on the hot seat, I don't care about next year's number one, next year's number two. I want to get up and be able to grab a guy at five or six or four or wherever that I know is going to be a star, and it's going to be another person that you will be able to point to and say, hey, Joe Douglas drafted that guy, like Sauce Gardner and like Garrett Wilson and like Breece Hall. So we shall see. I think that Joe Douglas is more of the even keel, I want what's best for the organization, and he's going to want to recoup that second round pick.
I agree. And he's hoping that by following that strategy and they ultimately get to the postseason, he'll still have a job.
Right. And look, I don't know who they'll end up taking at whatever spot they move down to, if they do, and whoever they get in the second round. But having two bites at the apple, is a better chance that you're going to at least nail it with one of them rather than only having one shot at it.
No question about it. Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
Good evening, Larry, GD. Shout out to the company. Hello to Joe, Leo, and Harvey. Oh, so I am so glad that we are turning the page. We're no longer going to bring that name up. You know, it's done. Even Gordon hung up on me on a show one time for bringing the
name up. It was a no Zach Wilson zone. I can't help it.
I know.
Broke the rules, Jose. I'm sorry.
I know. It was all for the games. So, I am a little reticent on, you know, the whole Brock Bowers, you know, talk, because I just don't think he's a guy that's going to be able to run block at a high rate where this offense does, you know, run the ball a lot and, you know, does require its tight ends to get down and dirty. So we'll see. But we'll see. I do hope that they do trade back and, you know, like they said, get, you know, hope. And someone brought up a scenario of, you know, the Giants possibly trading back to 11 because, you know, they said, hey, the Jets are not going to, you know, drop the quarterback, and that's like a great spot. I would love nothing more than for that to happen, because then that means, you know, if I'm Joe Douglas, I'm pretty much calling those teams who need a quarterback and saying, hey, what ransom can you give me to get me out of this spot? Because I definitely want to, you know, take advantage of that. So, you know, we'll see how the trade, the draft day works out, because we all know that it could be very crazy when all the moves get done, and we'll see how it is. But just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts, and I want you to lock this in. I think that Caleb Williams will be the offensive rookie of the year.
Wow. All right, Jose. Thanks for the phone call.
Here's the thing, and I get it. The Jets do have to find a young quarterback at some point. This ain't the point. This is not the time to be doing that. And this ain't the guy to be doing that. I would not. I don't want Joe Douglas picking another quarterback for the Jets anytime soon.
No, I don't.
Because run through the scenarios. What are the chances that he's going to get it right? Say, what? It can't be the third round.
No.
So it has to be a fourth or a fifth round pick that he nails it on a fourth or a fifth round pick when he couldn't nail it on the second pick. Mm-hmm. And the guy's not playing, you hope, for God's sakes, you hope he's not going to play this upcoming season. The house is on fire right now.
Yeah.
You got to do whatever you can to put out the fire.
Yeah.
Now, I would be concerned about the tight end. I had this stat on Saturday. It's from an article, Larry, from Sheil Kapadia of the Ringer.
Mm-hmm.
9 tight ends have been selected in the first round in the past 10 drafts. Those players have combined for 0 all-pro nods and 1 1,000-yard season. Only one of them, David Njoku of Cleveland, got a second contract from the team that drafted him. Now, Kyle Pitts and Dalton Kincaid might be, but they haven't as of yet. The last time a team used a first-round pick on a tight end who would go on to become an all-pro was 2003 Dallas Clark. That's a long time ago.
Honestly, you're better off wide receiver. If you're going offensive playmaker first round, you're better off wide receiver.
Our resident Jet fan, Joe Leo, would you rather them stay at 10, take the tight end, move up, and draft a wide receiver, or move down and get a lineman?
I would rather them move down and get a lineman. That's my number one dream.
All right,
if
I take lineman out of the mix, move up, get wide receiver, stay put at the tight end.
Stay put at 10. I don't want to trade future draft picks, because I've lived that with the Nets. I'm good with that.
How's that worked with the Nets?
Not great. I'm still waiting for a championship. Still waiting for a playoff round win.
When do you have your next first round pick?
2026, I believe.
Nice. Around the corner. Be here before you know it.
And did this coach say he was doing everything he can to try to get Ben Simmons active and ready to go?
He wasn't mentioned. Part of this team? Ben Simmons' name wasn't mentioned today. But he did say he loved the direction of the franchise. I'm still waiting to see what direction that is. So
he's got
to
say
what
that.
Is the direction of the franchise?
I don't know.
He's got to say.
Your guess is as good as mine.
To say that you like the direction of the franchise means it's moving in some direction. Kind of feels like it's stuck in neutral.
No, young
it's
players.
Going in reverse.
He loves young players. That's what it is, Gordon. Loves the young players. Nucleus of young players. Claxton. Mm-hmm. You got some young players there. You know, that's what he loves.
And look,
you know,
next Mikal year, Bridges, you know, next year is the final year of Ben Simmons' contract. $40 million. 40.3. What does that break down to? Every 2 weeks, you show up, you get the direct deposit for $40 million,
and haven't done a thing.
Nothing.
Haven't done a thing, man. Joe, take it from a beleaguered Met fan. Get rid of him. Pay him off till, you know, on the 1st of June, the next 125 years later, he gets paid. And move on. Like Bobby Bonilla. Do the Bobby Bonilla. Trust me.
I would celebrate June 1st as if it was a championship if we could pay off Ben Simmons' contract.
Every 2 weeks, he gets a check for 1.551. $1,551,467.08.
Every 2 weeks.
Now, that's pre-tax.
Pre-tax.
Taxes, yeah. They're going to kill you there.
Oh, absolutely.
New York taxes?
900.
Taxes?
900.
you're going to be paying a pretty penny there. But well, I think he's still going to be doing all right.
He'll be okay. He pays his bills on time. Yep. There's no question about that. Not worried about paying them late.
No, he'll be good.
When we return, we'll see what the Giants are going to do. A lot of conversations about Gordon. There's more conversation about the Giants than the Jets, and that's rare come draft day. It really is. We'll hear what a bunch of people are saying about the Giants, including Harvey Cruz, next on 98.7 ESPN.